If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Bully Ray and I look back at Monday Night Raw from last night and how it started with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman telling the WWE Universe that Brock is going to be not only in the Royal Rumble, but the first entrant in the Royal Rumble. What's going to happen there? Plus, we speculate at who could be the surprise entrant at number 30 in this year's Royal Rumble. Also, Bully Ray, as he usually does, causes a little controversy, and he throws out the name CM Punk. Could this be all leading to CM Punk and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 36? And speaking of the Rumble, we get into Asuka and Becky, who we know we're going to see at this year's Royal Rumble. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. There's a lot of things that are very intriguing about what we saw last night. And why don't we start right from the start, which at the beginning, we knew it. We talked about it yesterday. You were going to get Brock Lesnar, and we got Brock Lesnar, and a huge announcement from Paul Heyman.
Yep. Brock is entering number one in the Rumble. Interesting.
And speaking of that, let's go to Paul Heyman from Monday Night Raw last night.
How about every single solitary challenger that wants Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble can have Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble? Because, ladies and gentlemen, here's your official announcement. My client, Brock Lesnar, hereby enters the Royal Rumble match.
What?
Oh, wait a minute. Not just enters the Royal Rumble match. That would kind of make history. Let's go all the freaking way. My client, Brock Lesnar, enters the Royal Rumble match first.
Oh, so Brock Lesnar is not only your WWE champion, he's entering the Royal Rumble and entering the Royal Rumble in the first spot. Now, he talks about history, going back to history, and not that far back, 2016, Roman Reigns, as your WWE World Heavyweight Champion, he defended his championship at the Rumble. He was the first entrant, lost to Triple H, and Triple H became your champion, and that led to their match at WrestleMania 32, where Roman Reigns successfully got that championship back. But interesting call from Brock Lesnar, and I didn't hear Paul Heyman say he's defending the title at the Royal Rumble. Why would Brock Lesnar not only enter himself into the Royal Rumble, but enter himself as the first entrant to the Royal Rumble?
Okay, before I answer your question of why, I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
Are you intrigued that Brock Lesnar has entered himself in the Royal Rumble?
Yes.
Are you intrigued that Brock Lesnar has entered himself number one in the Royal Rumble?
Yes.
Are you going to tune in to see what happens with the Royal Rumble as Brock Lesnar, your first participant?
Yes.
Mission accomplished. End of story. Right there. Just those little tidbits right there. Brock is entering the Rumble at number one. If you're intrigued, that means you're going to tune in. Now what they give us is gravy. Why would Brock Lesnar, the WWE champion, be entering the Royal Rumble at number one? Well, now I'll answer the question. It's really quite simple. Who should be challenging Brock Lesnar right now? Or who could be? Or who's intriguing enough to challenge him right now? Who's the credible person on the Raw roster that you think at this very moment, as of Raw last night, could stand in the ring with Brock where you actually think they have a shot of beating him?
There's a couple of potential candidates.
Great. Give me a name.
I can't. There is not.
You just said there's a bunch of potential candidates, well, and then I said, give me
your
name.
Well, I said, like, I Drew McIntyre could see at some point being somebody that could be a credible challenger to Brock Lesnar. But right now, it's hard for me to pick one name off that Raw roster. I say, definitively, this is the guy. Seth Rollins could be, but, you know, again, even though Seth Rollins beat Brock Lesnar twice, I don't know if I'm that intrigued in that matchup right now with Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar. So I really don't have one name where I can definitively say this is the guy who should be facing Brock Lesnar for the championship at WrestleMania.
Now, imagine you were in a creative meeting and imagine you got called upon and that was the answer you gave, because that's probably the answer most people are given. We can't figure out who the one guy is to put on the marquee against Brock for the Royal Rumble. I understand what you're saying with Drew, because Drew looks the part and we want to see Drew get this push and then do more with Drew. But they're in a transitional stage with Drew. They're turning Drew babyface little by little. That 3-2-1 gimmick he hit before he hit his whatever that mafia kick is, that stiff kick to the face, he's going to get that over. He should be doing that 3-2-1 every single time he does the Claymore. So you got to give that a couple of weeks to get over. So Drew, I think they are priming him. But they gave him some mic time last night. They gave him a quick squash match against No Way Jose. They had him hit the Claymore again. He'll definitely be in the Rumble. He'll definitely make some kind of impact in the Rumble. Hopefully he comes out of the Rumble with something. But Brock being number one is very intriguing, because if you're Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman and you're looking at this from a storyline point of view, I'm the WWE champion. Just as Paul said in the promo, there are no challengers, are no credible challengers. So if we have no credible challengers, we're going to try to do the most credible thing we could possibly do. We're going to win the Royal Rumble as the WWE champion. And oh, by the way, we're not going to take the punk-ass route and hope we get number 30. We're going to take the warrior route and enter ourselves at number one. And I'm going to eliminate every single person that comes in that ring, and I'm going to win the Royal Rumble. And if Brock Lesnar were to win the Royal Rumble, what would he most likely challenge for?
He would challenge for the Universal Championship. It's the only other championship he can challenge for.
Right. So maybe we get a Universal Championship versus WWE Championship at WrestleMania in a unification match. I don't know that for sure, but that is one possible out with Brock Lesnar in the Royal Rumble. Let's take another scenario, which I personally love. If Brock enters at number one and Brock eliminates a significant amount of guys, maybe he eliminates more guys than Kane ever eliminated, because Kane has the record for eliminations, right? Doesn't he have like 11
or
13?
Well, I think Kane overall, when you look at all the Royal Rumbles, I think he has the most eliminations more than any other.
I'm talking about in one particular Rumble. Who has the most eliminations in any one Rumble? I think it's Kane.
I have to go back and look. I think at one point Shawn Michaels did. I hear what you're saying. Coming in at one and eliminating everybody and coming out the victor.
Brock coming in at one and lasting all the way to the end. How pissed off or how much heat do you think Brock's going to have if he's able to do that, especially if he eliminates all of the people that you hope can beat him? So if they build that Rumble the right way, and let's say, let's just use Ray, for instance. Ray comes in for Retribution, and Ray almost eliminates Brock, but then Brock eliminates Ray. Or whoever the next fan favorite is. It doesn't matter. Just pick a name. About to eliminate Brock, but Brock eliminates them. When number 30 hits, what do you think is going to happen? Especially if number 30 is a massive surprise. And what if number 30 eliminates Brock?
Well, you just set something up that's probably, first of all, needed for WrestleMania this year. And number two, since I kind of answered your question, that there really isn't anybody on the roster that really gets me excited to face Brock Lesnar, there's your answer. And Alex Metz sent out the tweet, who could be 30 last night during Raw? Because I think you hold the key right there. Whoever 30 is probably going to be a big surprise and most likely will eliminate Brock Lesnar and set up your match for WrestleMania 36.
Yes, I think I think we're going to get a good surprise. And maybe that surprise is not even number 30, but I think that surprise is going to have some kind of definitive role with Brock Lesnar. I think that they need it. You know why I think that they need somebody significant coming back at the Rumble?
Why?
Who was the mystery partner last night in the six-man?
Big Show.
Why?
Well, I mean, he's come back after a two-year absence. He has a show that he wants to promote on Netflix. There's a few reasons why.
So we brought back a veteran. I'm a fan of Show.
Mm-hmm.
Gets a good little reaction, comes in. He's the one left standing at the end of the match. Who are we trying to push right now? Are we trying to push Seth and the AOP?
Mm-hmm.
Lord knows the AOP can use the boost. When I saw Big Show come out last night, you know what I said to myself?
What?
I said, good, AOP's going to leave Big Show laying. And then at the end, I saw a show standing tall, and I was like, whoa, okay, didn't understand why they went this route. And then I smacked myself in the face and ran my face into a brick wall and go, duh, it's a babyface company.
Yeah.
My point is, look at what they're starting to rely on again.
Veterans.
Veteran names. They turned to Big Show last night. How come Ricochet wasn't the partner last night?
Because, I mean, you need that pop, and Big Show gave you that pop.
Yeah, but why can't Ricochet give you that pop?
Not when you see him every single week. It becomes a little watered down. I mean, first of all,
the star power is becoming less and less.
Well, let me ask you this, Bully, because you bring up a really good point, and you bring up that main event and Big Show being, you know, the surprise partner for Joe and for Owens going up against Seth Rollins and AOP. And you're right. Like, I'm thinking Seth Rollins and AOP are going to get a clear victory because that is who you're pushing. Obviously, it's Seth Rollins, your former champion. You got AOP or, you know, a revitalized AOP, which they should be pushing. Then why did they end that match the way that they did last night? Because there really is no reason to push Big Show at this point. I mean, Big Show, we could do a whole show on Big Show and how he is, on one hand, a first ballot Hall of Famer, but on the other hand, they've done considerable damage over the years to Big Show. I mean, why didn't we get a different outcome last night than what we did?
Because they wanted to go off the air happy. I don't know. Because they felt like Owens, Joe, and Big Show needed the moment. Listen, if you would have gave the moment to Joe, I'd be a lot happier about that. Because Joe returned last night. Wasn't that Joe's first match back?
No, he was in the ring last week. But, yeah, he's just coming back from doing commentary, yes.
So he's just coming back. Joe could use something substantial. But we got Big Show's knockout punch. Do I have a real problem with it? No. But I know that that's not the guy we should be running with. The AOP needs to look like monsters right now. And I wish I could get really, really into this on the show, Dave. I really, really do. But I'm speaking from personal, firsthand knowledge. The AOP, there are plans for the AOP. There are big plans for the AOP. And last night, if we would have got the AOP leaving Big Show laying, that would have been a great moment. Now, maybe that's the plan for next week in this fist fight, which I don't even know what it is. Or maybe that's going to be for the following week. Maybe this week the Big Show comes back and he leaves guys laying. And maybe next week the AOP are going to leave him laying. I honestly thought last night the AOP were going to double power bomb Big Show and the whole ring was going to collapse again. Something that got the AOP over. I despise Seth Rollins calling them boys. Those guys are like shoot fighter killers. They'll knock you out and then eat you for lunch. And they're being called boys. I'm not a fan of that.
It's
just my own
that.
Personal opinion.
I understand that. All right. There's a lot to get into, especially with this announcement by Paul Heyman for Brock Lesnar that he's entering into the Royal Rumble. I think the biggest thing, and we need to start speculating, is if it's not going to be someone on the roster, who could that surprise entrant be? And is it going to be just a showcase for Brock at the Rumble where he just goes through everyone? Is there going to be a surprise? Or is there somebody on the roster currently that could eliminate Brock Lesnar and take that person to the next level? Also, speaking of the Rumble, you said about Kane. Actually, Roman Reigns beat Kane's record with 12 eliminations at the Royal Rumble. So he currently holds the record for the most eliminations at the Rumble. Shawn Michaels has spent the most time in the ring at the Royal Rumble. So, you know, and it was Kane that Roman Reigns beat to get that 12th. It was Kane that had it with 11.
Didn't Rey Mysterio beat that Shawn Michaels record?
It's very possible. It's very possible. I have to go back and look. It's this is all in my head.
I thought Rey lasted the longest.
Longest time spent in a single Royal Rumble.
The longest time in the ring. I know it was Shawn Michaels for years had that record.
No. Longest time spent in a single Royal Rumble is Rey Mysterio with 1 hour and 2 minutes. Before that, it was Chris Benoit with 1 hour and 1 minute. Currently, if we're being diplomatic about it, Daniel Bryan holds the record with 1 hour and 16 minutes, but that was at the greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi. So I don't know if we're really counting that. Same with the most eliminations. Roman Reigns holds the record with 12 eliminations in a single Rumble, but if we're being diplomatic, Braun Strowman holds the record with 13 eliminations in the greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi.
I don't know. We don't count the greatest Royal Rumble.
But it is a Royal Rumble, though. That's the thing.
And I know Shawn Michaels and somebody else have won it at one as the first entrant. Shawn Michaels won it as the first, and Chris Benoit won it as the first entrant as well. There's a lot of records when it comes to the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I'm looking at all the stats right now here.
Do you think this is a really outside of the box idea? And I thought about it last night also, because they did something weeks and weeks and weeks ago and they made us forget about it. Do you remember when Maven entered the Royal Rumble and eliminated The Undertaker?
Yes.
Maven was made like in an instant, right?
Yep.
Career didn't go so great after that, but for that moment in time, he was made. It was a big deal elimination. Is there any chance Dio Madden shows up and eliminates Brock Lesnar?
How would that go over?
Like a fart in church.
No, because, you know, Dio Madden, because when you think of Dio Madden, what do you think of right now? If you're looking at the current state of the WWE, he was a guy who was a commentator, got injured, off of TV. Nobody. I don't think the name Dio Madden has crossed anyone's lips since he's been off commentating Monday Night Raw.
And that's the reason why I pulled it out of left field.
I mean, it's worth throwing out. There's a reason why they did it.
Last night when Brock walked past the announce table and I saw Heyman standing next to Lawler, I was reminded that that wasn't Joe, and I was reminded that that wasn't Dio Madden. I started to think, I said, wow, what if Dio was the guy? Because it's worked before with Maven and Taker. I don't know what they're doing with Dio Madden. I've heard a scuttlebutt that they want to get him. Scuttlebutt, there's that word again. I've heard that they want to get him back in the ring, and if Dio Madden has a gripe with anybody, it's going to be Brock Lesnar, but I believe that would be a bit underwhelming.
It would
because
be.
Going with Dio Madden and Brock Lesnar I don't think that's up anybody's alley, although you could tell the story.
At WrestleMania, that would be a lot. 877-344.
No. Why would you do it at WrestleMania? Oh, is the stip that if you eliminate Brock Lesnar, you get a shot?
Well, I mean, the winner of the Royal Rumble gets the opportunity for a championship match at
WrestleMania? I didn't say Dio was going to win. I said Dio would eliminate Brock.
Just eliminate Brock. Okay. All right. I mean,
yeah, Dave, I think you were operating under the impression that potentially Brock would be there at 30.
Well,
you know what I mean?
That's definitely my speculation. I would be surprised if Brock is not there at the end of the Royal Rumble.
We brought up three scenarios just now, right off the top of our heads. Brock wins and challenges maybe the Fiend for the Universal title.
Well, that's another. But here's another thing. Would people want to see that? Would people want to see Brock and the Fiend at WrestleMania 36?
Honestly, I would, because I'd like to see the championships unified, and I'd like to see Brock the champion, period. To me, Brock is the most credible world champion in the WWE. I'm tired of the two belts. I've never been a huge fan because it's not very definitive. And like I said, that's just my own personal opinion. I understand why the WWE does it. There's multiple reasons why they do it. So each show has a champion. So merchandising, blah, blah, blah. But I think Brock as your unified, universal champion, for me, for my taste as a wrestling fan, is what I'd like to see.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
This is where the speculation begins as we get closer to the Royal Rumble after Brock Lesnar's announcement that he is entering the Rumble as champion into the number one spot. So I think we're going to definitely open up the phones a lot today on Busted Open to get the pulse of the Busted Open Nation.
Oh, Mr. Carter, I know.
I love your tweet last night with Horshack. Horshack, underrated as characters of TV sitcoms.
I loved Welcome Back, Connor. Vinnie Barbarino. Hey, Vinnie Barbarino. Yeah, we can open up the lines. If you get the answer right, I'm not going to let you know that I think you got it right or anything like that, but I'll let them speculate. I will say this. I think 30 is going to be a cool surprise.
There's something that does kind of concern me, though, before we get to the Nation Bully, is something that you said, and you've said it before, and I'm going to be honest with you, Bully. You've said it, and a lot of times I kind of disagree with you. A lot of times I'm like, that's unfair. But when you said it just now, it was kind of a bit of a punch to the gut. And that's this. That when I look at the Raw roster right now, there really isn't anyone that I could say can get into the ring with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania and it be a WrestleMania caliber main event. Do I think Drew McIntyre has the potential? Yes, but he's not there yet. I think he's in a transitional period for sure. Aleister Black is somebody that maybe in 2021, I'm saying that this guy is a main eventer at WrestleMania, and I think that's his future. He's not quite there yet. Probably the most over wrestler on Raw right now is Rusev, and that's because of all the shenanigans with Lana, not because of anything that's going on in the ring, or you look at him as a main event wrestler. Raw is in a very, very transitional period right now, and there's nobody that I look at on that roster and say, you know what, I can't wait to see them in the main event for Brock Lesnar for the championship. So when you say it now, it hits home because I think it's absolutely true.
If there was somebody on the roster that could stand in the ring against Brock right now at the Royal Rumble in a singles match, they would have booked the match already. But there's not one person on that roster as of right now from a character point of view that you believe can beat Brock Lesnar. I know that I sure as hell don't believe there's anybody can beat Brock Lesnar. Nobody has been built up enough to beat Brock Lesnar. Nobody has the layers that Brock does. Nobody has the credibility that Brock does. I know there's so many people who listen to the show who hate the fact that we put Brock over so much. Brock gets put over because Brock deserves to get put over. Brock knows what the hell he's doing, and Brock is a credible champion. How is there anybody else on the Raw roster or the entire WWE, Dave, who is as credible a champion as Brock Lesnar?
No, and when you look at the Universal Championship that's a part of SmackDown, The Fiend is a character, it's a personality, and it's storyline driven. So, you know, you look at SmackDown, you know, Daniel Bryan, The Miz. You know, it fits because it's storyline, and The Fiend is the perfect storyline champion. Brock Lesnar is not a storyline champion. Brock Lesnar is the ultimate credible champion. He's the ultimate athlete with the mainstream appeal. When it comes to WrestleMania, it's either you're taking a superstar to the next level or it's going to be somebody that's returning. Those are your two choices when you look at Brock Lesnar. And you looked at Seth Rollins last year, it made sense. Seth Rollins this year, it doesn't make sense character or personality-wise because he's a heel. We talked about the possibility of Brock maybe being a babyface, but it doesn't look like that's happening right now, especially after what we saw last night. Could they build something after the Rumble? Maybe, but we could only look at the facts that we're looking at right now. It's almost a foregone conclusion to me that if the Rumble winner is going after Brock Lesnar, it's going to have to be a shock and a surprise, and it's going to be have to be somebody who's returning.
Is Okada a credible champion?
Yes.
Storyline-driven or in-ring-driven?
Both, but most likely, but more in-ring, yes.
It's about his in-ring performance, right?
Yep.
That's why Brock's your champion. Brock is your champion because of his in-ring matches, his level of credibility. So many people be like, his matches are the shits. No, they're not. His matches are brilliant. You just don't get it. You're just too wrapped up in internet and Twitter BS. Brock Lesnar is a master storyteller in that ring. How do you know? Go back and listen to the people when he does his false finishes. When people get credible two counts on them, you actually think they're going to beat Brock Lesnar. Listen, we could have the Brock Lesnar talk to death here. Brock is the guy because Brock deserves to be the guy. Now, coming out of this Rumble match, it will be interesting to see because I think number 30 is going to play an integral part in the Rumble this year. And if number 30 were to eliminate Brock, would they challenge Brock or would they go after the Universal Championship?
To me, it's got to be Brock. Because to me, like I said before, The Fiend is storyline driven. Like all the stuff that's going on with Daniel Bryan and The Miz, it's storyline. And also, too, I don't see The Fiend. And I'm not talking about, you know, a lot of people think that there's been a lot of damage done to The Fiend. I'm not going to go there because it's a work in progress. I don't see The Fiend defending the title in the last match at WrestleMania. To me, that's not the ultimate main event of WrestleMania 36 is The Fiend and fill in the blank. To me, it's Brock Lesnar and fill in the blank. Do you agree with that?
Sure. Yep. See, people were wondering last night on social media about why Brock. Why Brock in the Rumble? Why Brock at number one? Well, look at how much conversation we're having about it and look at all the possibilities that we're talking about. That's why Brock at number one. That's why it's a good decision. You know who I want to see be the last two guys in the Rumble this year?
Who?
Brock and Randy. And then hit number 30's music.
Actually, Randy's not a bad name to throw out there. We talk about how Randy's always overlooked. Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton would be a damn good main event at WrestleMania 36.
And there is unfinished business there with a story. And the story is about the receipt. The receipt heard around the world. You took the point of your elbow and you deliberately busted my skull open. And I never forgot about that. You bring that story back around. There's a lot of possibilities. Yeah, I know we got to go with the younger guys, blah, blah, blah. I get that. How many matches are scheduled for WrestleMania as of right now?
Zero.
When in recent history or in history can you remember us being in January and nothing definitive for Mania?
Yeah, it's usually right after the Rumble that you can really start putting the card together.
But we couldn't even guess right now.
I mean, there honestly, when it comes to the WWE, is there a match you definitively want to see at WrestleMania? Like, is there a match that you're thinking, Alex is nodding yes, throw it out there, Mets.
Ronda and Becky.
Yeah.
But that's a
absolutely.
But here's the thing, Alex, and I get what you're saying. As of right now, Ronda's not part of the roster.
Doesn't matter. That's the match I want to see. I don't care. Whatever you got to do to get that done at the Royal Rumble in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whenever it is, those two better be face to face in the middle of the ring setting this up.
But you know what? If we're talking about possible returns, there's probably three or four matches I can think of. About possibles. I mean, we've already, and you know probably where I'm going to go with possibilities. Sting, Undertaker. You know, there's a couple of names out there that we could throw as possibilities. But I'm being completely honest. As of right now, when you look at the shows that you watch on Mondays and Fridays, and you look at the roster as it is today, on January 7th, are there any matches you definitively want to see at WrestleMania 36?
Alex?
Yeah,
the silence is deafening.
Exactly.
The answer is no.
Oh, if you're going to me, I have an answer. My answer would be Brock and Randy.
Okay.
Now, I know that's probably not the popular answer, but I'm just giving you my
opinion. It's an honest answer. It's an honest answer
because the story is there. Now, I could go down the card and look at a bunch of other guys that might be credible, but credible for Brock, I'm really not sure. And I really don't know who I want to see against The Fiend. Do we really want to see Daniel Bryan?
We've seen it.
Do we want to see Kofi again?
Maybe they could finally pull the trigger on this Miz heel versus babyface Daniel Bryan thing that's been teased for three years now? And we kind of got a little glimpse of that Miz heel on Friday night this
Maybe
week.
A triple threat with the Miz, Daniel Bryan, and The Fiend.
Yeah, but that does nothing for me, Dave.
See, this is the problem. The three of us are talking right now, and none of us are inspired by anything. Why? Because there's a lot of stuff that's going on that is very uninspiring emotionally. Yes, we got great athletes. Yes, we know we're going to get good matches. If we put The Miz and in the ring with anybody, it's going to be the good match, or Daniel Bryan or Kofi or Brock. Listen, we get that. They're going to be good matches. But I want something with depth. I want something with real consequences. I want something with real emotion. I want something that's going to make a lot of sense. I want somebody to come back. Like, Alex, you're right. Ronda versus Becky is the match.
Don't care what the rest of the card is at all. Like, give me that match. I'm there in the seat, ready to go. I'll sit through 7 hours. I don't care.
I'm not sitting through 7 hours.
Yeah, maybe 6.5, but not 7.
But yeah, and I think we're going to get 2 or 3 really exciting returns at the Rumble. And I'm not even going to speculate about the names, because I'm not going to ruin it for anybody. Although I'd bet my house on it.
Okay. And there are names that are floating around. There are a couple of names that are floating around about people that have been injured that may be able to come back and be a part of this WrestleMania. But again, that's speculation. Bully, if you give me Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton with the story about the receipt after what happened in Brooklyn at SummerSlam, I'm in. But they're going to have to tell that story. They're going to have to tell it the proper way. And it's going to have to be something that's got a great build going to WrestleMania. I don't know if they'll be able to do that. Hell, I love the story that they're giving us right now with Becky and Asuka. But again, it was forgotten about. Now they're bringing it back. They're going to have to do that in an even bigger way, because it's now been years since what we saw with Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton.
Did you see when Becky actually aired the footage last night of her tapping to Asuka?
Yes.
You think they listened to the show?
Well, I mean, you're talking about something that happened 11 plus months ago that they're finally bringing to light. And yes, that was a big topic here.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Anybody who's been listening to this show knows that I can't let The Undertaker go. And maybe it's time for me to do so. Though, until it's all said and done, I'm going to keep on doing it. But you threw out CM Punk. And that's another name that's one of those names that we always throw out this time of year, Bully. But now that you're throwing it out, it has a lot more credence than it ever has done before. Obviously, with him being in a sort of like backhanded way back in the WWE by being a part-time host on WWE Backstage. Let me ask you this first, Bully. Do you think the return of CM Punk being a host on WWE Backstage has been a successful one?
In his first week, yes, because the ratings dictated it's been successful. I think it's already kind of fallen off a bit because of the infrequency that he appears. And when he does appear, are we really getting this unfiltered, just what's the right word I'm looking for, Dave, besides unfiltered? Are we getting this unfiltered, brutally honest CM Punk that we thought we were going to get?
In some ways, yes. I think the biggest thing you said, Bully, is the infrequency that he's been a part of the show. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think he's only hosted the show twice, right? I think twice.
Alex, three times tops?
Yeah, two, maybe three. Only two I can remember.
Yeah, I think he's only hosted it twice. So this hasn't been the gig that we all thought it was going to be for CM Punk, and I think it's actually hurt a show that had a lot of potential before they even announced CM Punk as being a part of it. Because I think the whole aura of that show and the fundamental of that show is a really good one. But now that, like, we thought Punk was going to be a bigger part of it and he's not, I think it's actually hurt that show in the long run. But he is back in the world of pro wrestling. And he's Punk being Punk. Not just by what he said on that show, but over the weekend he tweeted out and he had on his Instagram story the original card for WrestleMania 30 and how he was supposed to go up against Triple H. And the only reason why I think he would send something out like that is to keep himself relevant and to stir the pot a little bit. Bully, would you agree with that?
Stirring the pot, yeah. I think he's as relevant as he feels he needs to be.
Okay. I think he's been involved a hell of a lot more in pro wrestling than he has been at all at any time over the last 5 years. It's not out of the realm of possibility that he could be a surprise entrant at the Royal Rumble. Do I think it's going to happen? My answer would be no, but it's much closer than any time in the last 5 years. Let me ask you this, Bully. If you were to get CM Punk at the Royal Rumble, would it be a little watered down because of his participation in WWE backstage?
No. I still think the guy holds on to a tremendous amount of credibility, and I think that if there's hope that surrounds any one wrestler more than anybody else, it's him. I think that no matter how many times we've come on this show and been like, all right, enough about Punk because he doesn't want to do this anymore, or he wants to do MMA, or his heart's not really in it, or he keeps saying forget about it. Like, even though he keeps pro wrestling at more than an arm's length, I think that fans everywhere hope to see him back. And the only reason I'm suggesting CM Punk is not for the shock value of him being a surprise entrant. It's for the story that it could present for Brock. Check this out. Like I said, I'm just going to lay it out one more time. I'm going to layer it up just one more part of the story. Brock is standing by himself. End of the match. He ran the gamut. Everybody's out. Who the hell is going to be number 30? Punk's music hits. The place is going to go absolutely batshit crazy. Yep. Yes or no?
It would.
What will the look on Paul Heyman's face be if CM Punk is coming to the ring against his beast?
His jaw would drop.
Who else did Paul Heyman represent besides Brock Lesnar?
He represented CM Punk.
Now he's got the two guys, his biggest successes in the WWE, will now be standing face to face. Punk enters the ring. Punk and Brock Lesnar are face to face. That hard camera shot shows you them face to face, and splitting right in the middle is the look of horror. Paul Heyman looking like Kevin from Home Alone with that look of horror on his face, like, what the frick am I supposed to do now? I never saw this coming. I'm Paul Heyman. I'm the master manipulator. I'm the master chess player. I can outwork anybody in the ring and in the back. And now I am face to face with a situation that not even I saw coming. And Punk eliminates Brock and then challenges Brock for the championship? You don't think that that's a WrestleMania main event that is going to put asses in seats and buy rate?
If you announce today that you're going to get Brock Lesnar and CM Punk at WrestleMania 36, it would be sold out before the end of the week. And I'm gonna you know, you talked about Heyman, you know, also not only being with Brock Lesnar, but he was with CM Punk. In the world of the WWE, things go by so fast, right? And you kind of forget things that have happened in the past. More like you kind of forget things that have happened just a couple of months ago because there's so much WWE programming and there's so much going on in the WWE. If you remember back in 2013 is when Paul Heyman turned on CM Punk for a returning Brock Lesnar. That was Money in the Bank 2013. There was a Raw on July 15th at the Barclays Center where you had Paul Heyman and CM Punk go back and forth about that betrayal at Money in the Bank. It may have been one of the best segments in Raw history. And I know that sounds crazy to say, but you talk about emotional. You talk about, like, Paul Heyman brought up his children in that segment with CM Punk. Because he talked about how CM Punk was the ultimate rebel, wouldn't do what Paul Heyman asked him to do, and then he put all his faith and devotion into Brock Lesnar. You could bring that back up again. Hell, if you want to, Bully, you could turn the tables. You could have Paul Heyman turn on Brock for a returning CM Punk if you want to. There's so many directions that you could go into, because now you're talking about two of the best ever on the microphone in Paul Heyman and CM Punk.
The build would be incredible. The mic work between Punk and Heyman would be incredible. And you can bring a little bit of reality into it. If I had to bet a dollar, I would say that Heyman has stayed in touch with Punk throughout Punk's time away from the WWE because they were friends. If it wasn't for Paul Heyman consistently vouching for CM Punk, I don't think CM Punk would have gotten the opportunity. Paul was Punk's biggest cheerleader. And Paul knew that Punk at times could be a bit difficult, but saw the talent in Punk. Just like Paul saw talent in all of his ECW guys. Paul saw the things that the WWE could not see. So if the promo was, Paul, you're the number one guy who's been calling me for years. You've been asking me. You've been begging me. You've been pleading with me. You've told me why I should come back. And now I'm finally here. And you don't like who I'm here for. Well, that's too bad. Be careful what you wish for, Paul, because now you got it. I don't give a shit what anybody says on social media right now. I don't give a crap of what everybody's saying about, oh, forget about Punk. Oh, Punk this, Punk that. Oh, we don't want to see this. Oh, that train has moved on, whatever. I just gave you an insane main event for WrestleMania. I just gave you an insane finish for the Royal Rumble. I just gave you a story. I just gave you a build. And I gave you a money-making match. Listen, whether or not this is going to happen, I have no idea. But could you tell me, Dave, that idea is bad or that idea wouldn't work or that idea wouldn't draw money?
First of all, the answer is a thumbs up and a yes to anything or any argument you could possibly have about not putting CM Punk in the ring with Brock Lesnar. Because you said it, the build would be incredible. Could you think of another better build than CM Punk and Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman in the middle between the two and the history that he has with both those wrestlers?
I'm going to give you an apples to apples comparison that you will be emotionally attached to. So let's see your answer. Would you rather see Sting and Taker or Brock and Punk?
I would love to see Sting and Taker for the monumental, just the spectacle of it all at WrestleMania. But when you add everything together that Punk and Brock could give you, I would go with Punk and Brock because it's not only the match, it's also the build towards that match. And here's the other thing, too. They've been in the ring together. If you go back, do yourself a favor, and go watch that no DQ match that Punk and Brock had at SummerSlam 2013. Obviously, as the biggest Undertaker fan as I am, and I truly believe Sting needs that one match that he's never been able to have, I think everyone would agree that match would be a huge question mark, Sting and Undertaker. There are no question marks with Punk and Brock Lesnar. Zero. The build would be incredible, the story would be incredible, and ultimately the match that you would see in the ring would be incredible. All right, CM Punk has not been in a ring in over 5 years. The guy kept himself in phenomenal shape. The guy was fighting in MMA. He was keeping himself in shape. The fact that I just told you that I would give more of a thumbs up to Punk and Brock over Sting and Undertaker tells you everything you need to know. That's everything you need. Bully, when you brought up this scenario, Royal Rumble 2020, Brock Lesnar's in a ring. Here comes the 30th entrant. To you, to Gabby, to Alex Metz, to everybody who was probably listening to this show, said was probably thinking CM Punk, except me. Because that's how much I want to see The Undertaker and Sting at WrestleMania 36. And I still have to side with you on Punk and Brock.
The thing about Sting and Taker is, you know, the entrances would be spectacular. You know, the face-to-face would be spectacular. You wouldn't be quite sure about the physicality just because Sting hasn't been in the ring in a long time. And, you know, I don't know if he's fully rehabbed from his injury. Trust me, on a personal level, because of the respect that I have for Sting and what I was able to accomplish in the ring with him, I would love to see him back for that last thing. Because I'm sure when he puts his head on his pillow at night, knowing that, you know, the match with Seth and the buckle bomb was the last time, it doesn't sit right with him, as it probably wouldn't sit right with a lot of people, just because that's not the way you want to go out. And so Sting and Taker is fantasy booking that I'm sure people would love to see.
And Bully, on a personal note, like you said with Sting, and I always bring that up, you had an amazing match in Boston with Sting at Slammiversary, which is one of my all-time favorite matches. But you look at Sting and about him putting his head on his pillow. When it's all said and done for you and you give up pro wrestling, you're not going to have any regrets. You're probably not going to look back and say, God, I wish this would have happened. I wish this matchup would have happened. I'm sure you've accomplished everything in your storied career, correct?
100%.
I know I asked this question to Mark Henry. Mark Henry does not want to get physical at all. He doesn't want anybody touching him. He doesn't want to get hit. Because at the end of the day, he accomplished everything that he wanted to. I don't think you can say the same for Sting. And Bully, you know, I'm kind of wishy-washy when it comes to Sting. I think he's a little bit overrated because I don't think he had that one match, that one victory, that one smell of success that somebody with his status should have had. And I know that it probably bothers him. And that, for his sake, and even for The Undertaker's sake, I think that's a good way to say goodbye. So on a personal level, I would want to see that match. But when you look ahead to the future of this company, when you look ahead as a main event for WrestleMania, when you look at the future of a Brock Lesnar, and let's face it, Bully, probably somebody who Brock Lesnar wants to get into the ring with. You've said it before. There have been people that maybe he wouldn't want to get into the ring with, or he doesn't have the respect to get into the ring with. I don't think there's any. He's not raising an eyebrow to somebody like CM Punk.
No, because listen, Paul and Brock, the talks that would have. Let's just say Brock, for some reason, was vehemently against CM Punk. I think in this case, Paul would be able to talk him off the ledge because of the story and the business. When you have a story like that that's built in, when you have actual history both in the ring and outside of the ring, come on, Dave, just like you said, you announce that match right now, WrestleMania is sold out tomorrow.
And also, we talk about Sting. Also, this is the match that CM Punk has always wanted to have. You know, I talked about that match at SummerSlam with Brock Lesnar. I wasn't the main event at SummerSlam that year with CM Punk and Brock Lesnar. CM Punk and The Undertaker wasn't the main event at WrestleMania 29. CM Punk and Chris Jericho for the WWE Championship wasn't the main event at WrestleMania 28. CM Punk and Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania 36 would be your main event.
Punk talked about on backstage, when he first was on backstage with Renee Young, he said,
Well, you know, there's a lot of wounds that need to be healed that would take time. You got 4 months. Start healing the wounds. The fact that he's on backstage and talking about the WWE two or three times so far, that's a toe in the water. You're closer now than you've ever been with him. To me, the answer's right in front of them. Whether they go, they decide to go down this route or not. And there's one person who's probably listening right now, or will listen later, or we'll get back to him, that will tell you that this is absolutely the number one best idea, and that is Paul Heyman, because this is something that Paul Heyman would book.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Man, I wonder if I'm alone in this. I want to see Asuka beat Becky Lynch at the Royal Rumble.
It's not going to happen, is it?
No.
How can it happen?
It can't, because obviously, like, people like you and I, Bully, always bringing up the fact that Becky, you know, tapped out to Asuka. And then you have what happened with Ronda at WrestleMania 35, which could creep back in over the next couple months, where Ronda's shoulder was clearly up at the three count. They wanted to clean the palate, so to speak, when it comes to those things after WrestleMania 36.
And the story is right there, because after Ronda debuts, however they do it, whether she's a surprise in the Rumble or whether she are they doing the Women's Royal Rumble? Have they announced that yet?
No, nothing. They
oh, yeah, will. Charlotte's the first one in. Yeah. So whether Ronda were to come back as an entrant in the Women's Royal Rumble, or whether she were to come back and attack Becky after Becky goes over on Asuka, assuming Becky goes over on Asuka, however she brings her back, I think Ronda's promo is this: you've been sitting here for months talking about your self-doubt when it came to Asuka because Asuka beat you. How about the self-doubt knowing you never pinned me? And then Ronda goes to the videotape and she freeze frames it and she goes, look, you've known about this since that night, Becky. You've been living with this lie ever since that night ended at WrestleMania. Your championship is a lie. Your run is a lie. Everything about you holding, whether it's one belt or two championships over your head, is a lie. My shoulders were down. I haven't been in the pro wrestling business as long as you have, Becky, but even I know that your shoulders need to be pinned down to the mat for 3 seconds. And clearly, if you look at the Titantron, my shoulder was not down. There's your story.
There's the story. But here's what I'm afraid of, and you just said it, Bully, and you know what's going to happen. At the Rumble, Becky's going to run right over Asuka to set that match up at WrestleMania 36. Because I don't think they're going to go with another triple threat like they did at last year's WrestleMania.
I hope not. Yeah. Last year, the right decision. This year, not the right decision.
So, you know, she's going to run over Asuka. And then Asuka's the victim coming out of this. She was the victim coming out of last year. Think about in a victory, Asuka tapping out Becky Lynch. And then she was off of TV for what? Weeks she was off of TV, and she's never really been able to fully recover. I know she's a tag team champion, but let's face it, it's a big difference between being a part of a tag team in the current state of the WWE and where she was against Charlotte at WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans. When you look at that, I'm afraid that Asuka's going to become a victim and fall further down that ladder.
And there's no reason why she should become a victim. Asuka is too valuable of an asset to the WWE's women division to have her just be another victim. Just another victim, brother. Why are you stealing my shit on your show? Asuka can get over, and Becky can go over. That's all they need Becky to do, is go over. There's no reason why Asuka cannot look strong in the entire match. And imagine if Becky were to go over, and then at the end of the match, you were to get a handshake,
and Asuka with a spray the green mist in Becky's eyes. Becky goes down. She's selling her eyes. Asuka leaves the ring. And then with no music, Ronda Rousey slides in the ring. And when Becky turns around and clears the mist out of her eyes, there's Ronda Rousey to destroy Becky Lynch.
Sets up your match at WrestleMania 36. And the match that a lot of people wanted to see in the first place last year. Like you said, the right decision, making it a triple threat with Charlotte, but that's the match that people want to see. And it would turn the corner. Because you said, a lot of people not getting excited about Becky like they used to. You talked about the crowd, just a handful of people standing up when she came out. That would change after that moment with Ronda Rousey.
Let me ask you this. Based on some of the reactions that Becky has been getting, and once again, people, this is not my opinion. This is what I see and hear with my own eyes. Based on some of the reactions Becky has been getting, Dave, do you think if Ronda Rousey lays out Becky Lynch, that people will be on Ronda's side?
I don't think so, knowing the fans and their reaction to Ronda towards the end. With this environment, with the way fans are, I don't know. But I'm gonna say they'd be firmly behind Becky Lynch.
Okay,
you,
fair enough.
You?
75%.
Okay.
75% of the fan base. What Alex brought up earlier is definitely true, but if they tell the truth in this storyline, fans are going to be forced to sit up and take notice. And to me, it's the only way to go. Because if Becky feels so strongly about avenging her loss to Asuka, she has to feel strongly about knowing that she never truly won. Remember in Rocky III when Mickey told Rocky all of the guys that he fought were handpicked?
Yep.
They were setups? That's basically what Ronda can tell Becky. Not that they were setups, but you know damn well you never beat me. Come on, Becky. Let's be honest, girl. You know you've watched the match back. You probably watched the match back 100 times. We were the main event at WrestleMania. We made history together. Forget about Charlotte, Becky. She wasn't even in the ring when the finish happened. But look at the finish. If you were so upset about Asuka, how could you possibly sleep at night knowing that you never beat me? Becky Lynch, you are a fraud.
And here's the thing, as strongly as I feel like at the Rumble, Becky is going to roll over Asuka, that's how strongly I feel that Ronda will beat Becky at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think that that's the right thing to do. And you, Ronda, as your champion, and you have to put the chase back on.
Yeah.
Becky is in some weird territory right now. Yeah, she's on the cereal boxes and she's on the video game. And, you know, she does a great job with what she's handed. But for some reason, okay, Alex, I'm going to go to you, not to Dave, because you're more of a Becky fan. Do you feel like she is resonating as much with the people now as 6 months to a year ago?
No, but I think that's just because storyline-wise, it's kind of slowed down a little bit for her. We're now just starting to get back into something really good with her with this Asuka thing. I obviously, we know what happened with her and Seth being paired together. And then kind of ever since then, she's just kind of been treading water. She had that tag match against Asuka and Kairi Sane that's kind of setting all of this up. So, yeah, I would agree with you. It's not resonating right now, but I don't think that it means it can't, if that makes sense.
Fair enough.
It is a bit of murky water for her. And I think that the WWE has done a good job now of saying, all right, we have to address this situation with Asuka. Because I think it hurt Becky by them ignoring it. Because as much as, like, you talked about the blind devotion of Becky fans and how they're like, get over it. I love the fact that, like, that, what, 8 months ago when we were bringing this up, everybody was like, come on, it's over with, forget about it, move on. And now that they're bringing it back to attention, now everybody's like, oh, good job. Now Becky's going to, you know, use this, this adversity of that what happened. Hey, this is what you and I have been preaching the whole time since it took place at last year's Royal Rumble, Bully. when you ignore it and you pretend like it didn't happen, that's going to bring doubt. And not forget about Becky's mind, but the fans' minds about whether she could really be this person or not. Now they're using it as a story and they're using it as a match. Again, I just hope Asuka doesn't fall victim to this whole thing. Because to me, when you talk about the best women's wrestlers in the WWE, Asuka's the top is in the top five. She's top five right now, in my opinion. And she needs to be there. She doesn't need to fall down any further. And you know what? I don't know how to make of what we saw last night, to be quite honest with you. You know, Asuka comes out. She's loud. She's obnoxious. She goes into the ring. And one shot, what was that, a forearm to the chest, takes her down, and she's out cold?
Supposed to be a throat punch. Karate chop, throat punch, whatever. That's not to say I agree with it, but it wasn't a forearm. It was supposed to be a throat punch. And I didn't even like the version of Asuka that we got last night. I don't like this Asuka.
Agreed.
The one who, I hate it. Asuka's a killer. And that's the way she should be presented. Because the more you present Asuka as a credible killer, the bigger the win will be for Becky. I would have loved to have seen Asuka just come to the ring, just being normal Asuka, right? And just looked at Becky and said, "I beat you." Bang, throat punch.
But what they're trying to do, Bully, is to make you hate Asuka. That's what they're trying to do.
Look at the way she looks. Look at the way she works. She does the cool green mist. There's nothing about Asuka that I really hate. They have not made me hate Asuka. What could you do? If Becky Lynch has a puppy, maybe Asuka can kick the puppy. Maybe I'll hate her then. I don't know. What has the WWE done to make me hate her? Why? Just because she's standing across from Becky Lynch and everybody is supposed to love Becky? Becky already has enough people not loving her. She got a huge fan base. But there are some people out there who are not quite happy with her. Why do I say this? Because they booed last night when she throat punched Asuka.
Because they love Asuka. They know, you talk about the story of Becky and Becky being wronged and Becky being overlooked and what she had to overcome to be in that match at WrestleMania. Look at Asuka the last year. All that Asuka did was tap out Becky Lynch, the hottest wrestler in the company, and they threw her in the trash can for a year. So, you know, the same story they presented you with Becky is the same story that Asuka's been going through the last 12 months.
One is a work, one is a shoot.
Damn right. And I'm telling you, they presented Asuka, because you're 100% right. The Asuka that came out last night should have been a cold-hearted killer. That should have been somebody that was walking to the ring and not saying a damn thing. But they're trying to make you hate. The way the WWE makes you hate somebody is by being annoying. How did they get you to hate Baron? Have them be annoying. That's what they do. And that's what they're doing with Asuka. She comes out, is screaming at the top of her lungs, shrilling on the microphone, to the point you're like, turn it off. I don't want to hear this. That's what they did with Asuka last night. That was very uncharacteristic of Asuka, what we saw last night, and should not be the way to go in this build towards their match at the Royal Rumble.
For me, it was a little bit too much. It was too over the top. And if the idea is to get Becky over and avenge her two losses to Asuka, and the very memorable one, which was the Royal Rumble, where she tapped out. Did you hear that, Becky fans? She tapped out. You want the most serious version of Asuka you could possibly present. That's how I would do it, because the more serious Asuka is, the more credible the victory will be.
There you go. Mike from Connecticut says, can we set the record straight? The shoulder was not up at 3 at WrestleMania 35. He meant Ronda. Her shoulder wasn't up at 3 at WrestleMania 35. It was up at 1 and down for 2 and 3. Either way, then it wasn't a 3 count. Whether it was up at 1 or 2 or 3, it doesn't matter. It wasn't a 3 count. Her shoulders were not down for a 3 count.
great, then there's even more heat on it because the referee shouldn't have even started counting. Now Ronda can call the referees into question. She could say, you're all biased. You just wanted her to be the girl because she was going to be the new poster child for the entire company. And you were going to count three no matter what, whether my shoulders were down or not. This entire company screwed me over. And if it wasn't for me, Ronda Rousey, no woman would be in the main event at WrestleMania. There's your heat, kids. I just wrote it for you.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.